Amen. If you have your Bibles, I want to encourage you to open them to the Gospel of Luke, the 24th chapter, Luke chapter 24. You can also click Bible in your My Richland app. It'll take you right to Luke chapter 24. How many of you in here are golf fans? Okay, I didn't figure there'd be a lot of hands. You know, this isn't really a golfing county. But so if you raised your hand, if you consider yourself a golf fan, I don't want you to answer this question. You're not allowed to answer this question. I want to ask everyone else who's not a golf fan, which is most of you. I'm curious if you can tell me what happened a few years ago, 2019 to be specific, that was really a big story in sports, particularly in golf. Something that happened in 2019. Anybody have any idea? Now, you can't say it if you're a golf fan. You don't count. You know golf, Nate, so you can't answer. Okay, I'll give you a hint. I'm gonna challenge you who aren't fans of golf. I'll give you a hint. Somebody won the Masters, and it was a really big deal. Anybody have any guesses? Tiger. How'd you know? So yeah, Tiger Woods. It was when Tiger Woods won the Masters in 2019. It was a really big story. It was the first time that he had won a major victory in a decade. And he had, you know, if you know anything about Tiger Woods, which most people do, they've heard the name at least, he had a lot of personal problems in his life that he had to overcome. He had physical injuries that he had to overcome. And he won. He did essentially what people thought. They thought he's never going to win another big tournament. He's through. And he did what seemed impossible. He won the most important or the biggest tournament in golf, the Masters, in Augusta, Georgia. And so now I'm like a lot of you. I'm not a big golf fan. I think, you know, I enjoy playing it occasionally. Like I play once a year. it's too expensive for me to play, but I, you know, it's a fun sport, but I'm really not a big fan. I don't watch golf really, but this was something that I knew about. I knew about it when it happened. It was all over the news. I mean, the president was even tweeting about it. People who really weren't even fans of Tiger Woods liked the story. Now think about, why is that? Why was this such a big deal? It's not just because it was Tiger Woods, but it's because of stories like this, that we like stories of victory when all seems lost and finished, right? We like the stories when we think, well, that can't happen, and then somebody comes back and they win and they're victorious again when everybody said that's not going to happen. We celebrate that. We talk about it. It's in the news. It's something that we can't help but talk about. But there's no greater example of that. And in an infinitely better and greater and more important way, there's no greater example of that than what we're about to read here in Luke chapter 24. So again, I want you to turn with me and look with me at Luke chapter 24. It'll be on the screen behind me as well. We're going to read the first 12 verses. And so on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the tomb bringing the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. They went in but did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Now, obviously, we know coming up to this that Jesus has been crucified. He's been buried into this tomb, this rich man's tomb. And this would have been, if you look at verse 3 again, this would have been a very stressful moment because they didn't yet realize, they didn't understand that Jesus was going to be alive. And so they thought his body had been stolen, and they were going to prepare it for burial. They were wanting to do this, but his body wasn't there. And so you can imagine how distressing this would have been at this very moment. And so it continues in verse 4, while they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men stood by them in dazzling clothes. We know from the other gospel accounts that these were angels. So the women were terrified, and they bowed down to the ground. Now, I want you to imagine for a moment how amazing it's going to be to see the glory of God. Because this right here that we see in verse 5, this is repeatedly the response of people who would just see the glory of angels. Right? So just imagine how amazed we're going to be someday at God's glory. It's just something I didn't think about until I was reading this week, just that you read throughout the Bible and you see that when people see angels, they can't help but fall to the ground. Imagine someday when we stand in the presence of our God and see his glory. So it continues in verse 5. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? One of the most powerful questions in all of Scripture, because it's not just a question, it's a proclamation. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here, but he has been resurrected. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and rise on the third day? So Jesus told them this would happen, but somehow they didn't remember until now. Look what happens when they remember. and they remembered his words. Returning from the tomb, they reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them were telling the apostles these things. But these words seemed like nonsense to them, and they did not believe the women. Peter, however, got up, ran to the tomb, and when he stooped to look in, he saw only linen cloths. So he went home amazed at what had just happened. Father God, we pray this morning that you would help us to have that same sense of awe and amazement. Father, please let us never take for granted the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. And let the resurrection impact our everyday lives, recognizing that this is our salvation. Father, this is our life. So give us the wisdom this morning to see the truth of your word and to apply it rightly so that we would live lives that would point people to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So in this sermon series, we've been talking about the Apostles' Creed. We've been talking about why is it that we believe what we believe. The Apostles' Creed is really a great guide and help for us. And so far as we've done this together and we've gone through this, we've looked at the Apostles' Creed, and it starts with, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. And then last week and moving into today, he suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. The third day, he rose again from the dead. And so today we're going to look at this good news that Jesus lives. And you say, well, it's not Easter Sunday. Well, you know what? We celebrate Jesus' resurrection every day, don't we, as followers of Jesus? And we celebrate it every Sunday. Jesus rose again. He's alive. And we have nothing if not for the resurrection of our Lord. Nothing. We have no hope apart from the resurrection. And so my purpose in the message today is that the resurrection of Jesus will be much more than a historical event for you. It certainly can't be less than that, right? You have to believe this. It did happen. But it also must be embraced as much more than something that just happened. It's got to be much more than just a historical event. It's life-changing. And so from the resurrection account, I want you to consider two essential Christian truths and the required response. There's no Christianity apart from these truths that we're going to talk about this morning. There is no Christianity apart from this. But one can't be a Christian apart from this proper response. In other words, the necessary response that proves a changed heart and a changed life have happened for you. Yes, the resurrection of Jesus is historically true, but what does that mean? All right, what does it mean that Jesus rose from the dead? There is truth, and the truth demands a response. And so the truth, first of all, that we so often take for granted and that we don't celebrate as we should in our everyday lives is that Jesus is alive. He's alive. He's risen. Let us never take this for granted. Let us never tire of celebrating that Jesus lives. I love the songs we're singing this morning because they really focus on that, that Jesus is alive, that he is risen, that he lives, and we celebrate that. It's why we, along with the vast majority of churches for the past 2,000 years, have met on Sundays for worship, the first day of the week, Sunday. Right? We don't meet on the Sabbath, the seventh day anymore, Saturday. We don't meet. We meet on Sundays because that's the day that Jesus rose from the dead. He rose from the grave on a Sunday, the first day of the week. He is alive. And that's something that we're never going to tire of celebrating. Did you notice who the first person was who saw the empty tomb? Who was the first person? Look back at your Bibles. It's all right. It's an open book test. Who was the first person? Who, Barrett? Mary Magdalene, right? Mary Magdalene. In fact, this is pointed out in all four gospel accounts. Mary Magdalene's the first name that was mentioned as the person who saw that the tomb was empty. Now, why is this so significant that it was women that were the first witnesses? Why is that such a big deal? Anybody know? Anybody guess? Why was it so significant? Why, Barrett? Huh? You weren't raising your hand. Okay. Anybody? Any guesses as to why this was such a big deal? Yeah, in the first century world, women being witnesses to something would not be accepted by very many people. In fact, a woman's word was actually not accepted in a court of law. They couldn't give a testimony in a court of law. Now you think, well, that's wrong, that's chauvinistic, and it is. That's the way it was, though. We have a hard time understanding that because that's not the way today in our culture. That's not the way things work. Now, of course, we've gotten a long way in America. We're probably still not there yet. This probably is still an issue for some people in America where there's that chauvinism, that things that happen because of gender. But the reality is, in the first century, this is how it was. Now, we know it. We know that's not right. We know it's not true. We think about, even in our church, we know how many amazing wives are in this church that love and serve their families and are so faithful to God's word. How many amazing mothers that we celebrate on days like today and we're grateful. And even if you're not a wife or a mother, how many amazing servants of God that are women in our church and in the history of this church that have been so faithful to serve God and be. And so in other words, we would look and we'd say, well, hey, if they saw something and they're faithful to God's word, then we're going to believe it, right? And so we look at stories like this, and we don't necessarily think about how significant this would have been that the first witnesses of the empty tomb were women. And we think, well, big deal. This was a big deal. In the first century Israel, women weren't seen as reliable and trustworthy. There was a wrong understanding of that there could be any possibility that they would provide a credible witness. And yet Mary Magdalene and the other women, they were the first witnesses. They were. That's what happened. Someone making up a story. So if someone wanted to make up a story and say that some guy had risen from the dead, they're not going to tell that it was women who were the first ones to see him. They're going to pick men because women wouldn't have been accepted as witnesses. And yet it's their names. Not just that there was women. Their names are put down. Why? Because that's what happened. Because it's history, because it's true. Jesus is alive, and it couldn't be denied. That's the truth. After the women remembered the gospel teaching of Jesus and the reality of the resurrection, that's the truth that caused these women to be changed forever. That's incredible. You see what happens next. They were changed. They were changed when they saw the truth, and then they remembered the truth, and it was like the light bulb went off, and they were changed forever. Jesus is alive. The second truth, then, is that the resurrection is foundational. It's not optional. This is foundational, right? The resurrection was promised. The resurrection fulfilled the promise. The resurrection is essential for the Christian faith. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14. It says, if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation is without foundation, and so is your faith. In other words, we have no hope, we have no peace, we have no forgiveness, we have no salvation if not for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's so foundational for us. Jesus said it would happen. He predicted it multiple times, and it did happen. And then his followers remembered his words. I would challenge you this morning, do you know and remember his word? Do you know his promises? Do you hold to his promises? How does this impact your life? The resurrection of Jesus, your hope in what he did for you when he died on the cross for your sins and rose from the dead. Do you recognize the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus as foundational for you, as of the utmost importance? Because it is. Jesus is alive and his resurrection is foundational. And that's why we say when we talk about our testimonies and how it's such a great tool for us to share the gospel with someone, is to share our testimonies. But our testimonies aren't what's important. It's what Jesus did that's important. He's the hero of the story. And so our testimonies are simply an avenue of us to get to the most important truth of what Jesus Christ did for us when he died on the cross for our sins and when he rose from the dead for our salvation. And we celebrate that. And so we're constantly needing to point people to that. That it's not enough to just say, well, come to church with me or God loves you. Those are good things to say, and that's okay. But we've got to point them to the foundational truth that Jesus is risen, that he is alive. And why is he risen? Why do we celebrate that? Because he died for our sins. And now he's alive. He conquered sin and death. And so the response then, the necessary response, is to believe and to proclaim. Trusting Jesus' life, death, and resurrection for your salvation is the saving response. Then that leads to fruit. It leads to evidence, right? If you believe the gospel, you're going to declare the gospel, or at least you're going to have that ongoing desire, that conviction, regardless of your successes or your failures. You're going to have that desire in your heart. If you have the Holy Spirit, if you have a relationship with Christ, then you're going to desire for others to have a relationship with Christ, because you know how great it is to know the risen Lord. Just like these women here in this chapter, you're going to want to tell people. In other words, you are either telling others about Jesus, or you know you should be, and you feel rotten that you're not. And so if you don't fall in one of those two categories, if you're not proclaiming the gospel, or you don't know deep down, I need to be doing this and I feel terrible when I don't. If you're not in one of those two, then you need to examine your heart this morning. You need to be challenged to think, have you really surrendered your life to Jesus? Because if I read through the New Testament, I can't find any exceptions to this from Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit came. From Acts chapter 2 to all the way to the end of Revelation, I can't find any exceptions of people who follow Jesus, who don't want others to follow Jesus. People who follow Jesus who can't help but talk about their faith in Jesus. That's just what happens. When you know Jesus, you're a witness for him. That's the evidence. That's one of the fruits. That's one of the proofs that you have a relationship with Christ. Yes, just as we saw here in Luke chapter 24, these words will seem like nonsense to some people, but the gospel is truth. Right? The gospel is the only message that saves. The gospel is worth proclaiming, even if you're thought to be a fool. The disciples thought the testimony of these women was pure nonsense. Remember, these are the disciples. Jesus told them that he was going to die and rise again. But it was so incredible. It was so amazing. And they were so dumbfounded, and they were so blinded by their own sin and disbelief that they thought the women were ridiculous. The disciples thought it was ridiculous, but these women declared it anyway. They weren't thought to be credible witnesses, but they told the truth anyway. They knew, and soon the disciples did too. And eventually the whole world knew. And the gospel's here, and we have churches in America today because this is true. And because the gospel advanced across the nations and made it to us. Believe the gospel and proclaim the gospel. You know, Peter had learned to take Jesus at his word. So you can imagine what was going through Peter's head when he ran to the tomb. And we know from the Gospel of John that John also ran. And Peter perhaps was not as fast as John, so he didn't get there as quick. But we see here that Peter ran to the tomb. Why? Because he had just denied Jesus 3 times. As Jesus said he would, Peter started to learn, wow, this Lord who I've followed, who I said that I would follow, his words always come true. And so you have to wonder, everybody said this is nonsense. What these women are saying is nonsense. But Peter, it was like something was in Peter's mind, and he ran to the tomb. Who can tell me the title of this morning's lesson in family groups? Anybody remember the title? Anybody? I'll give you a hint. Yeah, Terry. Yes, people are amazed by Jesus. The adult lesson, it was amazed by the Messiah. Now, when Peter saw what was in the empty tomb, it said that he was amazed. He was amazed. Obviously, no one had taken Jesus' body. His body hadn't been stolen like the women thought at first. They opened it, the stones rolled aside. That was the first miracle. The stone was rolled aside when they got there. And wait, the linen cloths were still lying the place where he had lay. So nobody took his body, or they wouldn't have put the linen cloths there. Would have just taken his body out with the cloths on it, but they were there. So what happened? And so Peter was amazed. Are you amazed by the resurrection of Jesus? Because I feel like we've lost that amazement. You know, if you're sincerely amazed by something, you'll talk about it, won't you? We do. I mean, when we're amazed by something, people were amazed by that story of Tiger Woods winning the Masters when they didn't think he could, and so they talked about it. It was in the news. People talked about it. If you sincerely believe the gospel, then you can't help but be amazed by what Jesus has done for you, what he continues to do for you. Marcia was showing me something really powerful in one of the children's lessons leadership guides this week as she was preparing for her lesson for this morning in family groups. And she shared it with me, and I thought, that is so fitting for what we're looking at here in Luke chapter 24. You see, you think about, so the song, I Stand Amazed in the Presence, which we're going to sing in a few minutes, it's an incredible song. It's a hymn in our hymnal. It's an old song. But think about this. Think about these words, the first line to that song. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. and wonder how he could love me. A sinner, condemned, unclean. How amazing is it that we, as sinners, can stand before a holy, perfect, righteous God? How? It's because Jesus died and because he rose again. That's the only way we can. We have no right. We have no ability to stand in the presence of God, and yet we can. We get to. We are called to. He calls us to do it. Why? Because Jesus is alive, because he rose again. Is there anything that amazes you more than that? There shouldn't be. Do you understand? Do you stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene? Do you understand how awesome that is? In a few minutes when we sing that song, will you stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene? Remember, I said my purpose today is that the resurrection of Jesus will be much more than just a historical event for you. You know, I don't ever remember not believing in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. I've always, as far back as I can remember, as a little child, I always believed that he died for me. I always believed that he rose again. But you know what? I didn't become a Christian until I was 20 years old. I believed all the right things. But you see, the gospel was simply history that I believed. That's all it was for me. Jesus was not the Lord that I surrendered to until I did, until I was 20. I certainly was not standing amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. It was just another story. It was another history that I believed. And maybe that's you today. Maybe you've always believed, as far as you can remember, you've always believed that Jesus died and rose again. But maybe you haven't yet surrendered your all to him. And if you haven't, I want to plead with you today to do that. God created you to be in a right relationship with him. He makes no mistakes. God didn't mess up. We know the reality is that we all sin. We all fall short of the glory of God in his perfect standard. Our sin is devastating because it leads to eternal death. It leads to the reality that we all deserve to spend eternity in hell apart from God. And yet, praise God that he sent his son Jesus to rescue us from sin and death and eternal damnation. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He took our place. He took that punishment on himself. And so the song that we're about to sing, it says, he took away my sins and my sorrows. He made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. He took our place when he took our sins on himself. He took our place on the cross. And then on the third day, he rose again. Jesus is alive. He conquered sin and death forever. So now the good news of the gospel is that if you turn away from your sin and you trust in Jesus alone to forgive you, then you receive eternal life. He restores your relationship with God. And then as we're about to sing, because this should be our response, how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song should ever be, how marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. If you have surrendered your all to Jesus, how is your life of witness? Is it clear to those around you that your heart is sold out for Jesus? That he has your heart, that he has your commitments, that he has your priorities? Is that clear to those around you? And who are you helping to see that? To see that Jesus is worth following? To see that the sacrifice of giving our hearts and our lives to him is worth it? It's worth the cost. It's worth the effort. Do they see that you are amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene? And do they desire that same relationship, that same awe, that same amazement? Disciples make disciples. And so who can you help this week to stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene? Father God, please give us the wisdom to know how we can rightly respond to your word this morning in Luke 24, the truth of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection for our salvation. Thank you that he, the living, is not among the dead, but that he has been resurrected. So, Father, we pray this morning that you would challenge our hearts, that you'd open our minds to see the truth, and that we would have such a desire to walk with you that we would stand amazed in your presence and help others to stand amazed in your presence. Father, we pray this morning for those who haven't yet given their lives to you, that you'd soften their hearts and give them a desire to turn from sin and follow you. Right now, as we pray, give them a desire to call on your name, to ask for the forgiveness of their sins, to ask for their hearts to be changed, to ask for their lives to be made new. And we pray that you would get all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.